Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is a part of a series based on the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In this series, we'll look at some amazing heroes, legends, and stories. 1st and 2nd Chronicles are some of the least read and least understood books of the Old Testament. The stories of the heroes of old are legendary, but what relevance do they have for us today? The Chronicles remind us that even today, with all the dangers and threats from the cultures around us, it is through the true worship of God that we are daily reminded in whom we trust and in whom we obey. The principles of victory that were present in the stories of old will guide us to victory in the stories of our lives today.
You know what is so incredible, and I think you all experienced this. Mike and Roger, who taught in my absence, didn't they do a great job? Great teachers, yeah. I so love that I can go away and I don't have to worry. We've got great teachers in this congregation and who blessed us. And each of us are different and each of us are unique, and God uses us through our uniqueness. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. But I'm glad to be back and glad to continue our study out of 1 Chronicles. You know, I want to be a part of a church. I want to lead a church that's passionate, committed, all in following Jesus. And that's why this past January we recreated what it means to be a member here at Pantano Christian Church. In fact, we called it All In. In front, the seats in front of you is this card that says, I am passionate, committed, all in following Jesus. I want you to take that card out because I want us to review that. Back in January and since then, over 1,000 of us have signed this commitment. And some of you are still considering it. Some of you are new and aren't quite sure what it is. And I want us to review the 4 specific commitments that make this up, because I think these 4 things are really defined clearly what it means and will move us in that way where we can follow Jesus well. Take that card out. Take a look at it. It says, therefore, I commit to actively participate in Christian community. You see, we're not going to follow Jesus well on our own, in isolation as a lone ranger. We need others in our lives who will challenge us, encourage us, walk with us, teach us, confront us, whatever it takes, pray for us, support us when we're struggling. We need others in our lives who will help us on this journey. We can't do it all. And we need to build into others' lives as well. The second commitment here is, I commit to grow to become more like Jesus. That's it, isn't it? Our beliefs, our attitudes, our words, our actions continually grow to reflect Jesus more and more. It's a growing process. It's a journey. We don't get there overnight. Third commitment on here. I commit to generously manage all of God's resources under my care to make a difference. If we've said Jesus is Lord of our lives, that means he owns all of us. All of who we are, all that we have. And then we're responsible to manage our life, our time, our abilities, our money, our possessions for his purposes. And then last, I commit to share Jesus with those not connected to God or a church community. We want others to know Jesus, his love, his grace, his truth, and that following him will lead to the very best life possible now and forever. And so that's what we commit to. And the reason we're looking at the stories in the Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, is those stories help us, they teach us the ways that we can truly live these commitments out, how we can follow Jesus well. And today we're going to look in 1st Chronicles chapter 29. And that 29th chapter is going to help us focus in particular on that third commitment here, to generously manage all of God's resources under my care to make a difference. In this story of David in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, we're going to see the principles laid out of how we can manage in a generous way all that we have to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Now, I want you to take your Bibles out because we're going to look at a number of the verses in this chapter. Or take out your iPad or your smartphone, whatever you use to read the scripture. And let me set the context for this. Chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles is the very last chapter in the Chronicles of David's life. In fact, at the end of that chapter, his death is announced. And so here in his final days, we see what his focus is on, what's important to him. See, David knows that God has already appointed Solomon, his son, to be the next king. And David knows that God has appointed Solomon, the one who will build the temple, which will be the center of worship in Israel to the Almighty God. And so let's take a look in chapter 29 and see how David gets ready to do this. He says, "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure," that's the temple, "is not for man, but for the Lord God." We're not just going to put up a shack. We're going to build a temple that will truly be a place that will honor God. So verse 2, "With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple." See, as king, the first thing that David does is he releases all the resources of the nation's treasury so that Solomon can build this temple. He knows that Solomon's going to need all the help he can, but he doesn't stop there. He gives of his personal wealth. You see, David knows he's not going to live very long. He knows he can't take his personal wealth with him. And he does the thing that's so right and so appropriate. He relinquishes all of his wealth so that this temple can be built. Now, in verse 4, it talks about how much he gave personally. And I did the calculations because in verse 4 it says that David gave 110 tons of gold and 260 tons of silver. Now, I started to do the calculations. It's a little overwhelming. It's hard to figure that out, what it would be in today's dollars and all that. But, you know, when I was doing work this week, I also had to fill in some areas in my house where the gravel had, you know, it wasn't there, so some bare spots. So I went down to the gravel yard and I got a ton of gravel. Now, I have an old, beat-up, three-quarter-ton truck. When they put that ton of gravel in the truck goes... And yes, it took me a number of hours to unload a ton of gravel. 110 tons of gold. 260 tons of silver. I can't even fathom that is. But here's the trick. Don't get distracted by the amount in terms of the amounts of dollars. Understand the principle that in verse 2. He gave everything he had. He held nothing back. He was totally in. David's a model of what we're talking about being all in. He was all in accomplishing what God wanted accomplished and what was necessary for the nation of Israel, for God's people. He was totally committed and all in. And then his example, the leaders of all the clans, of all the families of Israel, they saw the commitment that David made. And so they were challenged, they were motivated to give as well. And in the verses that follow, it says that the heads of the family gave an additional 190 tons of gold, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, 3,750 tons of iron and precious stones. And so now Solomon has everything needed to prepare to build the temple of God. I love how all of this experience is summarized in verse 9. The heart of the people are described here in this verse, verse 9. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. See, this describes how God wants us to give. Freely, willingly, wholeheartedly. Not with hesitancy. Not in a begrudging way. Think about it. When you prepare to give a gift to your husband or wife or a family member or a close friend, when you get ready to give a gift, you don't do it in a hesitating way. If they sense that you're not really sure you want to give this gift, you've already ruined the gift. Well, God knows our hearts. He wants us to be willing givers, that we give freely, without hesitancy, generously, wholeheartedly. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart and how we give to the Lord. I think most of us who've made the commitment to follow Jesus, we want to give generously. We don't want to calculate, you know, oh God, I'm only going to give you this much. We want to be generous. We want to have open hands and open hearts to God. The question is this: how do we get to that place? How do we get to the place where we truly are just willing and free and wholehearted and generous in our giving to the Lord? We get a clue of that in David's response. You see, as David sees the generosity and willingness of the people, he breaks out in a song. And he has this incredible prayer. And I want to first look at the song. It starts in verse 10. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." See, the key is right there. The way we get to that place where we give willingly, without any sense of hesitancy, the way we get to that place of generosity is when we recognize that everything, this is exactly what David said, everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have came from Him. And that's why when we created this all-in statement and that third commitment, we were very, very careful in the wording. I want to remind you again what it says, that we commit to generously manage all of God's resources under my care to make a difference. That's what David's talking about. We manage all that really belongs to God. It just happens to be under our care for God's purposes to make a difference in this world, to honor and glorify God and make a difference. And we get to that place of willingness when we realize this isn't mine, it's God's. And I'm simply managing what belongs to Him. It's not mine. It's yours. God, how do you want me to use what actually belongs to you? And then David breaks into prayer. I want to look at verse 17, a part of that prayer. He says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given, the tons of gold and silver, all these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you. See, David states what's absolutely true. God tests our heart. God tests our heart. Think about a test. Why do we test something? We've got here engineers from Raytheon. Why do they test the missiles? To see if they're going to do what they're supposed to do. Teachers test us. Why? To see if we really know the stuff. We test things to make sure they're the real thing, that they're going to do what they're supposed to do, that they are what they are. Now, in terms of God, what is he testing us for? David says it. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. What God is looking for is integrity, not perfection. He knows that we're not perfect. He's looking for integrity. And integrity is simply this: what we say, what we commit to, actually is being lived out in our lives. If we say we're following Jesus, then that's actually happening in our lives. If we made the commitment to be all in, then we're sincere and genuine and truly managing all of God's resources under our care to make a difference. That we're really living that out. And I love how David goes on in that. He says, you test the heart. You're looking for integrity. Then he says, all these things I've given willingly and with honest intent. I gave it out of the right place. I want to honor you. I want to do what you want done. I'm being obedient and faithful to you. Folks, again, all the way through this, it's not about the amount that we give. It's about the heart. It's about the reason why we give. It's the motive that compels us to want to give in a generous and real way. David was an incredible example to Israel, and they responded. And I want you to know that I'm all in. I am all in following Jesus well, to the best of my ability. And I want to invite you, if you've not already done so, to sign this all-in commitment. If you've not done so, I know over 1,000 of us have, but if you haven't, I want you to consider. I want you to take that card home and pray about what that commitment is about. And if you've already made that commitment, and by the way, you can also do that online. And if we've made that commitment, I want you to look at that commitment again and recommit and refocus and say, yeah, this is where I am going. This is the direction that I'm focused on. I want you all to know that I'm not just asking this church to be all in, but I am all in. I'm all in this financially. I'm fully invested and committed in who we are and what we're doing. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. When Jolene and I got married, we made the commitment then to give 10% of our income to the Lord through the local church that we were a part of. But we also made the commitment that we would start there, but we wouldn't stop there. Our commitment was to continue to grow our generosity, to be able to give more and more and more to the Lord. Now, that doesn't just happen because of wishful thinking. It takes a plan. And so all the years that we've been married, we have been very intentional to never spend more than we make, to live by a budget, to have a spending plan, to give to the Lord first, always giving him first. The bills come second. Not going into debt except for our house, a good mortgage. Having a plan, choosing not to do certain things, choosing not to buy certain things so that we can be generous. That we can give without having a hesitancy. Because we want to do that. That's where our heart is. And I love giving through this church. I know firsthand how this church uses God's money. It's not Pantano's money, it's God's money. I know the integrity that we have in how we use and manage God's money. And I also know the difference that we're making. We are making a difference in lots and lots of lives. Do you know that every weekend we minister to more than 700 children and students through this church? We're making a difference in our community. We are helping people follow Jesus well. We are making a difference with our international partners around the world. Things are happening through this church, truly bringing about change and transformation, which is God's will. We're not about building a temple like David and Solomon were building. We're about building the kingdom of God, seeing God's influence grow. And I love giving to this church because I know the money that's given here is given to the Lord and it's given to honor Him and to make a difference. And I without hesitancy, want to ask you to join me and our other leaders in that. But not because you have to. Not because this is a sales job. But because it comes from deep within. The desire to put God first. Returning to Him what simply belongs to Him. And the very best way to do that is in tithing. I am not hesitant to ask people to tithe. For those of you who don't know, tithing is giving God the first 10% of our income. Now, as I say that, some of you go, oh man, I'm in such bad finances right now, there's no way I can do that. I understand that. So work towards that. Don't just say, well, I can't get there today. Have a plan to work towards that. Plan includes what? Learning to live in your means. You don't spend more than you make. If you're in debt, you work to get out of debt, and then you stay out of debt. You have a spending plan. In that spending plan, you put God first. And you consistently live by those biblical principles, and you'll discover that you get to that place where you are able to give willingly and generously. And you can fulfill that very commitment that you desire to fulfill. Now, if you need help in this, because you know all of our financial situations are different. Sometimes they get pretty complex. We've got financial counselors who in confidence will work with you to work on a spending plan, to help you have a plan to get out of debt, to get to that place where you can be a consistent, willing, generous giver. We've got a table in the lobby, and you can see those folks. We've also got some financial tools and some classes that'll help you. So the resources are here to help you if you're willing to do that. It took resources to build the temple. It takes resources to see God's kingdom expand and to grow. And we're committed to doing that. We're committed as a church to help people follow Jesus well. We're committed as a church to reach people that aren't connected to God or a church community. We are committed to starting healthy, life-giving churches. We've already started two churches. In 2013, we're planning to start a church in the center of town. I don't know if you know much about Tucson, but most of the really healthy, life-giving churches are on the outsides of Tucson in the suburbs. We want to move back to the center. We want to move back in a place where we can have influence in the university and all that's in a part of the center of our town. And that takes resources. We want to continue to invest in our neighborhoods here and in Sierra Vista. We want to continue to invest in the villages where we're seeing transformation happen. We want to continue to see churches planted all over the world. And that's the incredible task that's before us. And God is with us. And God will move us to make a difference, to make an impact in this world. David gave everything he had. He knew he couldn't take anything with him. And he gave it all. And we're coming to our time of communion, which is exactly that. When we partake in communion, we are celebrating the fact that God gave His all. God held nothing back. God, the Father, was willing that His very own Son be sacrificed. And the cup of juice and the piece of bread remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus. If you're new with us, in just a moment, the communion servers will pass the communion tray. If you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you to participate. Take the cup and the bread and pass the tray to the next person, and then partake when you're ready. I want to ask that during communion, you remember the sacrifice that God made in sending us Jesus. But also use this time as a time to recommit that everything you have belongs to Him. That you're willing to give everything. After that, we're going to take our offering. If you're visiting, please don't feel any obligation to give. But our offering every week is a test. It's a test of our heart. God tests the heart. David said that. He's testing us for integrity. Are who we say we are and what we believe really being lived out in our giving? Does it come from a willing, generous heart? Let's pray. God, we are so grateful in this moment for your willingness to hold nothing back and give us the very best gift you could give us, Jesus. God, we are so grateful for Jesus. He is our life. We commit to following him to the best of our ability. Through your Spirit, Father, help us to fulfill that commitment. We want to honor you. We want to be obedient to you. And God, out of a generous, willing heart, we want to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.